Yo, what is up? You have found We Like the Blazers. I am Brandon Goldner, as always. And over there, also as always, is the man wearing white and teal. It is Ryan Whitledge. Ryan, what's up, gentlemen?
Not much. Yes, I have fully transitioned. It is now, it is baseball season in my mind. I know the Blazers have, six games left-ish?
Even something? Less, I think.
Something like that. I don't know, for whatever reason. Let me see.
This man couldn't move off the NBA season fast enough, but podcasting about basketball.
It's the only thing that's keeping me around is that I get to talk to you once a week about it.
Well, I appreciate that. And we'll be talking once a week all the way through the offseason, too. By the way, Ryan, we didn't talk about this. I think that as we have now joined the Blazers Edge podcast family, part of the Rogue Media Network, we would like to have some guests come into the show during the summer when people are a little bit more free and available. So, hint, hint, if you would like to be a guest on We Like the Blazers, you should reach out to us. And we'll be doing our own reaching out, too. But yeah, man, how's everything on your end?
Doing all right. Has a TV fallen yet? Is it still attached to the wall?
It is still attached to the wall. I aborted the first intro because I couldn't talk and I still can't talk. Ryan came over to my house and helped me wall mount a television. I want to say something though, Ryan. I dedicated an entire episode to you being right and me being wrong. And yet, in the moment when you said, well, code says the studs have to be 18 inches apart, I'm like, I don't feel anything here, man. They could be 24 inches away. You're like, no way, code. And I'm like, listen, and we knock around. And Ryan, how far apart were the studs?
Well, I would just like to say the words, the code says studs have to be 18 inches apart, would have never come out of my mouth, because code for walls is always 16 inch on center. And occasionally for floor joists and ceilings, you get 24. I have no clue what the hell is going on in that wall of yours. There is.
Just tell me that I was right. For the love of my ego needs this, Ryan. It truly does.
You were. You pointed in the right direction. The closest I'm giving you.
We figured it out. I think that with all four bolts, we hit solid stud after you had, in a very manly way, attached this thing to the wall using your little impact driver. I tried to hang on it. That wasn't going anywhere. The TV's on the wall. Cassie's going to be thrilled. She's off doing an eclipse thing with her mom and her sister, so she'll come home to that big of a surprise. Yeah, thank you for your help with that. I appreciate that.
Happy eclipse day, by the way. Did you? I know that it looks like you made yourself stand underneath some sort of gigantic bright flashlight, but did you actually get to see it today?
No, but I did get to enjoy. Cassie's family is on the East Coast. They sent pictures. Cassie and her mom and her sister traveled to Mexico, which is pretty cool. I wasn't invited. I'm here in Portland. It's cloudy. It's rainy. No, I didn't see it. Did you have your little glasses on? What'd you do?
I did have my little glasses on. I caught the beginning part of it, but it was funny because I went into work today. I told everyone on my crew, I was like, hey, the wife bought this box of eclipse glasses. She thought it was like a box of four of them, not 4D. So I have some to
spare. Hour of 10.
I was like, so I have some to spare. If anybody wants any, you know, I'll just set them down here. Here's the time.
Did anyone...
And then I went into my foreman's meeting and at 7:30, and I had said something about the eclipse, and a bunch of people were like, oh, I thought that was this weekend. I was like, no, it's today. Oh, what time? I tell them the time. And I was like, anybody need some glasses? And they're like, yeah, sure. And I was like, all right, great. $2 a pair.
Oh my
God. people start reaching out to hand me $2 because they're going to buy them. And then sure as shit, here comes the superintendent of the job site around the corner with a box of glasses. He's like, hey, dipshits, don't look into the sun. Here you go. I'm like, God dang it, Pat. I had a racket going. There was at least 36 here in that circle that he just stole from me. And I was like, ah, you asshole.
Did anyone pull a Donald Trump and just stare directly into the sun?
I don't know. If at this point in time, it's natural selection, man. Just survival of the fittest. If you can't understand the don't stare directly into the sun, then that's a you thing, and I'm not going to tell you not to. You get one warning. Here's your glasses.
Fair enough. Speaking of things that are colorful and bright, I just want to point out over my right shoulder this incredible rainbow kitty print that I got from, I should know the name of the store. There's a cat store on Mississippi. This artist's name is Cat Champion. Please check them out on Instagram. I did buy a frame specifically to get this print up. Ryan, my wall is like 85 to 90% done. Still not as cool as yours. Mine's a little bit haphazard. There's stuff all over the place. At some point, we'll be getting on YouTube, but not quite yet. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I have as far as updates are concerned.
Well, there we go. You know, and again, I think I asked this before. Who is on the poster that's against the door that's staring at me?
Miles Davis.
Miles Davis, okay.
Correct, yep.
His pose, it's always so intimidating to me.
It's Miles Davis. He's sitting backwards on a folding chair with one leg going over the folding chair, smoking a cigarette, head in hand. Looking pensively is a way I might put it. It sounds like maybe he's listening back to something that they recorded and he's like evaluating it. But yeah, kind of this sort of deep, serious stare from the legend Miles Davis. What you can't see around that corner is the other legend, John Coltrane, the only two legends. As you know, there are two legends. One of them is Miles. One of them is Coltrane. Those are the two legends. There are no other legends. That's it.
Real quick, before we get into talking about basketball, talking about the Blazers, this is kind of Blazers adjacent, but it's also something that, you know, is kind of personal to me. I'm sure because the news came out, he released it himself on Friday. A lot of you who are listening to this may know him as the pre and post game voice of the Blazers, Mike Lynch, for the last couple seasons. He had previously for about 11 years worked 1080 The Fan as an on-air producer, most of that time being with on Primetime with Isaac and Souk. That is actually where I got to meet him personally for the first time. Isaac and Souk are very famous for having their drop boards. And because they will take every clip that they can out of context and play them constantly. And one very famous clip that is of Mike Lynch is they were doing a product giveaway once. And it was so he had to give the code word. And, you know, in radio land, when you give the code word, you have to spell it out. So you can't just, you know, there's no shenanigans or whatnot about like, oh, well, you know, I did it, but I didn't win. But, you know, oh, well, you spelled it improperly. So the code word was swing. And as he says it, he goes, so text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-J, and then just completely went on with the whole rest of the read. I just
That's
so
not
happened,
how you spell swing.
It is not. And I just so happened to be sitting about 1 foot or 2 feet to his right that day when he read that out. And as soon as he got done with that read, I was like, that's not right. And he's like, no, that's the code word. And I was like, that's not what you spelled. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And we were arguing back and forth, and sure shit, they come back from commercial break and Isaac and Souk both look at him and they're like, do you want to spell swing again for us? So it's one of his more shining moments, one of his more infamous drops. But on Friday, you know, I don't, if people haven't noticed that he hasn't been doing pre and post game or the halftime for Blazers games on the radio. And he announced that he was diagnosed with ALS. And I'm not sure if people are aware of what ALS is. Those that aren't, it is a very degenerative muscular and neurological disorder. There, at this moment, there is no cure. It is pretty much a management and mitigation and try to get as much time as you can is the kind of level of care. It's extremely rare for somebody of his age because he's younger than us. I want to say he's about 34. This is normally, you see it a lot in people that are 60 and up, but this is basically puts an end to his career. And even in his announcement of telling people what's going on and where he's been, you know, he said, if you want to reach out, he appreciates the messages, but even at this point in time, it's not easy for him to communicate. And there's a GoFundMe that we'll link to in the episode description and all that for him and his partner, Ashley. I know with Ashley, he's been with her for a couple of years. She has two kids and Mike kind of just absolutely jumped into that fatherhood role. For me, knowing him, he's kind of one of the more sweeter individuals I've ever met in my life. Like you meet him and he is a big, giant, burly man. But he could not be any more of a frickin' teddy bear if he tried. He would have been the first one to give the shirt off his back. And this one it's tough because it especially with his age, it's, you know, it's just, it's not fair. So I know there's that GoFundMe. I also know that in the coming days, 1080 The Fan is going to be rolling out an entire stationwide thing to try to put together some funds for him and his family. You know, and again, these funds that all that's are raised, it's going for stuff like home renovations, because, you know, in a two-story home, you need those little elevator lifts going up and down the stairs, making things more accessible, different vehicles, you know, all this kind of ease of living, as well as some of his physical therapy treatments. But 1080 is going to be putting something together, I'm sure. I have not seen if the Blazers have announced if they're doing anything as of this moment. I know a couple other people who know Mike and are close to him. One of them, John Sukanik. He has a whole bunch of sports memorabilia, and he is actually from his personal collection reaching in and auctioning it off, with all proceeds going to Mike's family. But yeah, this one sucks. It's rough, you know, and especially since he kind of took over that spot from Jay Allen. You know, this is a Blazers podcast, and, you know, he brought himself into this Blazers broadcasting family. So we just kind of want to put the word out there, put the knowledge out there, and, you know, anything anybody can do to kind of help and lend support in this time would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I appreciate the reminder. I just donated now as you were sharing that. And actually, I would invite, we will link to the episode description, but I do encourage you, if you're listening right now, go ahead and just pause the podcast, go to GoFundMe.com and type in Mike Lynch. That's L-Y-N-C-H. And the fundraiser is called Help Mike Fight ALS. As you said, set up by his partner, Ashley Kenyon. Pause now, go to GoFundMe.com, type in Mike Lynch, and donate to Help Mike Fight ALS. Every little bit helps. So, you know, hit pause, come back, we'll still be here. And yeah, Ryan, I appreciate you sharing.
On that note, go ahead and donate, and we'll be right back. Okay, Goldner, so Blazers adjacent. Blazers adjacent, not entirely sure. It's basketball related. So do I get to call that Blazers adjacent?
It should either be Blazers related or basketball related. This podcast is called We Like the Blazers. And I think the description says a podcast about basketball. I forget. Anyways, one of the two. Let's just start there.
Skeet shooting recommendations out of these notes real quick then. No.
Oh, and I guess I won't tell you about how I refinished a built-in bench, Ryan. You'd be so proud of my handiwork using a combination of tung oil finish and spar urethane. Let's go. Sorry.
I actually am proud of you. I'm like a proud father watching a baby deer walk for the first time.
You should see the pictures. It truly looks good. It feels even better. Okay, sorry. Where are you going with this? Where are we going?
So last night, Sunday night, was the big women's college basketball final between Iowa and South Carolina. Did you watch?
You caught me in the middle of a bite, Ryan.
Was I supposed to talk more when I see your jaw moving? You want me to talk more?
I'm eating it doesn't matter what I'm eating. I'm doing like a little fish, fried fish rice bowl that I made myself. Thank you very much. I caught the end of it, Ryan. Ooh. I caught the end of it. I didn't see the whole thing. I was on my exercise bike and I was like, you know what? Think the game's on. And now that I'm one of the suckers who pays for television, no longer am I pirating. I had DirecTV stream on my phone, click in, watching the game live, last 5 minutes. Think Iowa was down by like 5 points. And then what happened? Because comeback maybe is the wrong word, but they got the game close after trailing for some portion.
You know, it's cliche to say, you know, it's kind of that the tale of two juggernauts. Like South Carolina was like the best defense in women's college basketball, and Iowa was the best offense in women's college basketball. And, you know, one of the things is I watched the entire thing. I turned it on like the wife was out and about running errands. I was being a good house husband and home and cleaning and all that stuff. But every TV within eyesight of me, I made sure that it was on. and watching. And Caitlin Clark just comes out just shooting gangbusters, 18 points right away in the freaking first quarter. Absolutely amazing performance. But you just know that South Carolina isn't going to continue to let her shoot that well. And so they just eventually kind of found a way at the start of the third quarter to put their defense pressure on it. But it was such a great game. And there's been so much discourse about like this being the thing that, you know, saves, you know, women's college basketball, or not saves it, but brings it more to the forefront and all that. And I hope that's true. If for as much as I think that it's more of a Caitlin Clark phenomenon and not necessarily a women's college basketball phenomenon in general, but I hope it continues because Caitlin Clark has brought a lot of eyeballs to this sport. And I thought it was a great matchup. It was funny. This entire March Madness tournament, I have known more about the women's bracket than I do anything about the men's.
I think it's big picture, small picture. Big picture, I love how women's sports are getting more publicity, more people are talking about it. And surprise, surprise, why is that? It's because in large part, well, it's a great game to watch. It's super fun. But B, The media has been talking about women's sports more, and no shit, people are going to be more interested if you spend more time talking about it. Who could have ever guessed? Like, I do think that some of this is like, it's a pretty terrible indictment of how poor of a job media has traditionally done to elevate the women's game. Yeah. Like that. I mean, so much of what we're experiencing now, and yeah, with Caitlin Clark, with Angel Reese and others, is because it's being talked about more. And I just rattled off two players' names that are obviously like in the zeitgeist of people thinking about basketball. Mm-hmm. Ryan, I don't give a shit about college basketball at all. Of any stripe. I'm an NBA guy. I had someone talking to me just the other day. Hey, are you following what's happening with this and that? Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm literally just NBA. The fact that I am now aware of, would tune into the women's game is because the media is doing a better job of like sharing this incredible sport with people. So that's really cool. And then now, smaller picture, I wanted to ask you about that game really quick. As I watched, I think the broadcast said that there is a bench scoring disparity of 37 points to zero.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell me what is going on there. That seems less than ideal.
Yeah, no, Iowa's bench just did not show up. And I mean, and even so, like I referenced the, you know, Caitlin Clark came out and had 18 first quarter points, set a record. Iowa as a whole had 27 points. So she had all but nine of her team's first quarter points. And so it's just kind of, when that kind of stuff happens, and it is, you know, not saying that she's the only good player on their team. I mean, it drives me insane because I can never actually pronounce the last name of the point guard. Stucky. Ah, anyways,
I don't, I can't help you there, but
She is a fantastic player, but it's
yeah. Let me thread in a little Blazers fabric into this conversation. What you just said about Caitlin Clark needed to score that many points because the rest of the team wasn't doing it. This reminds me a little bit, Ryan, of the conversation that I had last week when you were absent with Keith, when he had the quote from Jack Ramsey, which was a quote that Terry Stotts had in his office. Teams that play together beat those teams with superior players who play more as individuals. And that kind of feels like that's what happened. Like Caitlin Clark is this like, you know, supernova incandescent player. And yet like just as a team, Iowa just couldn't keep up. So anyway, yeah, it was.
Well, and tell me if you've heard this before, but you know, a transcendent scorer in their sport who runs an absolute crap ton of pick and rolls, but who is also lethal from pretty much half court when they're going to shoot, you know, sometimes trying to do too much themselves or having to do too much themselves and not being able to necessarily carry that weight. Not saying that, you know, not to diminish her in any way, shape or form. That's not what the statement is, but that's not enough to get their team over that final hump. Tell me if you've heard that before as a Blazers fan.
Once or twice.
A few times. But one thing that I don't think I ever fully realized, like I've always known that, like, hey, when the NBA season is winding down, the WNBA season is winding up. So Caitlin Clark projected to be number one pick in this upcoming WNBA draft, which I am very much thinking about going down to the sports bra to catch the WNBA draft. I think that might be a fun experience. I wanted to actually go down there for the championship game, but I had house cleaning to do. But no, the draft is like, I think next week, or the lottery's next week, draft next week. And like the WNBA season starts in like a month and a half.
Yep.
Like that is time to turn around from just playing this entire freaking tournament. So
that seems quick. By the way, like to your point there about the scheduling and the compression between, you know, the end of college and the draft and the beginning of the W, that's every sports league in America. Let me put it this way. What is the one sports league in America that all others bow down to when it comes to like TV seasons, when games are scheduled?
NFL.
Correct. And women's basketball is no different. The problem is that the WNBA is like, you know, not second in line, not third in line, not fourth, right? Like the fact that the WNBA plays when they do is a reflection of giving higher priority to other leagues, all of which are men. And I'm not saying it's going to happen today. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. However, if you're looking for like, what does the sports landscape look like in 5, 10, 20 years? My hope is that scheduling around these leagues starts to give more priority to women so that games are taking place in times of year and times of day when people are more likely to be watching. And by the way, that title game, I don't know off the top of my head, but the title game between North Carolina State and Iowa, the ratings, I think, were better.
18.7 million viewers. It was the most watched women's college basketball game of all time. That is more
better than the NBA finals. NBA
finals.
Right.
Yes.
And so like, I think this is a really, we're in an interesting time. I love to see the progress. It's also like, great, we now have proof that if you give a platform to this sports league, which is interesting, exciting, fun to watch, it's going to do well. So let's begin continuing in that direction. Sounds weird. Let's start scheduling it so people can see it more frequently and more often.
Part of that is intentional on the NBA as far as the WNBA is concerned, because the WNBA is subsidized by the NBA. They, you know, there's not enough teams yet. You know, it is a league that does not bring in a lot of revenue. A lot of, you know, the NBA side of the revenue pie does go towards funding the WNBA. And they're, one of the things that they've always liked and wanted is that you can carry over your enthusiasm from the NBA season as playoffs are winding down, finals are winding down, carry that enthusiasm over right into the WNBA season. And that is why, I mean, it you see it every year during the playoffs, that is nonstop commercials for the WNBA season. And so it's always been intentional on their part that they want that momentum to carry over. But I do agree with you that it is now something that can possibly be looked at being skewed just a little bit, because we've seen a proof of concept in the uptick in women's basketball, whether it be collegiate or professional, over these last couple of years, like since Sabrina Ionescu, I want to say is probably when this trend has started off in a positive direction for that sport, that it can stand on its own and it doesn't, you know, need a man to guide its hand and force people to watch.
Well, like, and to your point too, this is like, if you are more effective as a media landscape in talking about marketing, pumping up, teaching people about women's sports, people will be interested and will watch. And like that to me should be the takeaway from all of this. And also I think about during the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, right? Cause I spent a year in New Zealand, so summer was in December. Christmas was very hot. By the way, that was super weird. Like, Santa Claus coming down with his reindeer in the sleigh when it's,
I couldn't tell if you were Santa Claus or my racist grandpa. It was one of the two.
Yikes. But like in the Northern Hemisphere during, you know, June, July, August, September, are people gonna be like inside watching television? Like I like, you could tell me if I'm wrong, or maybe I need to do my own market research, but like, I would think that people are more likely to be at home doing something like watching television when the weather's shitty, when it's dark, right? Which is why, like, there's a reason why, like, the NFL doesn't play their games in, you know, June, July. Like, it's a fall sport. It's when, again, people are... So, all to say, like, we're not talking right this moment, but, like, could there be some kind of a crossover with the NBA season, right? Like, where you get maybe the playoffs happening while the NBA season, the WNBA season is starting, or maybe you go the other direction where maybe you push the NBA season further towards the winter and have the WNBA season start maybe towards the autumn rather than summer. I don't know. Like, I just think that, like, yeah, it's just interesting to think about. Sorry. It seems like you want to pivot, which is fair.
No, I'm literally pivoting. I'm trying to find a way where I'm comfy and I kick my feet up in my, and my new fancy Mac boom.
Okay. Fair enough.
Keep the mic in front of my face.
I'm glad you brought it up. It was good. And again, like, for me, I'm ignorant of college sports of any stripe, and I was like following it loosely, and I even tuned in, and I do think that that says something. So yeah, good stuff.
No, it's, I hope they continue to grow it. And I also do hope that it is not just a solely or just a Caitlin Clark phenomenon, that it is an actual phenomenon for women's college hoops. So
very fair.
Now we will strongly pivot over towards the Blazers. And I got to tell you right now, I am sweating these last four games. This is going to be absolute hell for these wins and losses, because somebody here has a decent chunk of money on the alternate over under of 22.5 wins. And the Blazers currently sit at 21 wins. I can deal with one more. I cannot deal with two. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at the schedule right now. So
let's take a look at the schedule. Why don't you read it off for us?
Their next game, Tuesday, April 9th. That'll probably be later tonight for most of you when you listen to this podcast, versus the New Orleans Pelicans. Then, you know, Thursday, April 11th versus the Golden State Warriors. Friday, April 12th versus Houston Rockets. And Sunday, April 14th at Sacramento to close out the season. I can see a world in which there's two wins there, and I don't like that one bit. Not one bit.
I listen, sure, there could be two wins there. But I would say, actually, I don't know if I agree with you. I would have to. So where are the two wins coming from? The one team I see that truly won't have anything to play for, I think, is the Rockets. Am I wrong about that?
I don't think they're still in a playoff hunt.
They're not. So the Rockets are eliminated. So now you're looking at positioning.
Okay, now they're playing for pride.
New Orleans is 7th. Kings are 8th. Warriors are 10th. Those three teams are separated by just 3 games between the Pelicans and the Warriors. That's so, I mean, again, like, I think the Blazers will be safe. I think the only team that doesn't have an incentive to try will probably be, I mean, we're going to know more as we get closer. Like, this 7 trillion machinations narrows down to like 2 billion and then to like 1 million. And then to, like, as you get closer, like, it gets easier to game it out. I think you're going to be safe, my friend.
It's, oh God, that's the kiss of death. That worries me. It's the last two. It's Houston and Sacramento. Sacramento will lay it down.
Why?
Why not?
But because they want to maintain their position. They're in the 8th seed right now. Why would you want to slip to 9 or 10? They have something to play for. Like, they're
What's their positioning? What's the exact, I got to pull up. I guess I got to pull up the standings.
Pull it up. Go to ESPN.com/NBA/standings. You have the Pelicans in 7th, a game behind them are the Kings at 8th. And then 2 games behind the Kings are the Warriors at 10th. So the Warriors being a game and a half behind the Lakers at 9th, which is the one team I didn't mention in this play-in kind of, you know, mushy middle of the play-in.
Okay.
All of those teams are going to be playing for play-in positioning, right? Remember, 7 and 8 get home court advantage, 9 and 10 don't. If you're 9 and correct, 10, it's 1 and done. So 7 and 8 get 2 chances, okay, at least if you lose the first one. So that's
I'm still worried about the two wins, which, God, this sounds so funny to say when I'm a fan of a team. Okay.
This is perfect. You can make some of your money back.
I'm amending the team. It's not going to be Sacramento. It's going to be Golden State. Looking at where they're sitting at with 43 wins, you know, Houston's not going to jump up and catch them. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to fall back far enough. You know, yeah, sure. They're kind of jockeying with the Lakers, but, you know, two games back with four games to play. By that time, one and a half games back, bro.
Like, so, yeah.
Fine. Percentage wise, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
No. Game. I mean, you can't just look at wins. You have to look at games behind. You can sort by GB, hit the little carrot there. We will know more in like one game, right? Like, because again, to your point, if the Lakers win and the Warriors lose, there could be so much separation that, to your point, the Warriors are just going to be like, nope, we're resting people now. But I do think they would much prefer ninth or even eighth if they're only two games behind eighth. So, like, I don't know. I think you're going to be safe. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do a little cross bet action? Like, I feel this would work for you. I feel confident in saying that the Blazers
Give me the hedge.
I feel confident that the Blazers give me that. I don't know how this gambling stuff works, man. I don't know what these scary words mean. I think the Blazers will get zero wins, but they could get one. Remember, the Blazers are like, everyone is sitting. The Blazers were already a bad team and they are playing Delano Banton 30 minutes a game. Shout out to Delano Banton. I don't think the Blazers are getting
Ayton out there still two. So
I know. I don't think the Blazers are getting one win, let alone two. I would put money on they're definitely not getting two wins. So,
you know what? The next lunch that me and you go out to, if the Blazers go winless this whole rest of this season, I will owe you a lunch.
Okay. I just, that sounds good to me. I even think about this. Even teams like the Pelicans, Kings, Warriors, even if those teams are sitting players, they're still better than the Blazers, which, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the point. The Blazers are so bad. They're a really bad team sitting a bunch of players. They're as bad as you can get, which is funny because the Blazers have actually been doing pretty well lately. Were they not just on a two-game win streak? Did they not just take the NBA leading Boston Celtics, the Beantown Boys, down to the wire? This was a 10-point game, less than 10 points in the fourth quarter on the road in Boston against the Celtics. Ryan, have the Blazers become, in fact, world beaters?
How are we talking? Like, remember the marbles?
Life just drained out of
the marbles from Men in Black. Like, that was the world you found out. Like, that was the like little planet that they put.
Yeah.
So if we're the big creature that's like sucking up the world galaxy and you know, that's the
are
size
we the
of the
cat
world.
Sure. In that circumstance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But in that instance, like, if that's the size of the world, then I'm expecting the Blazers to beat.
Okay.
I'll give them a 60-40 shot.
Shout out to the Blazers for winning some games. They did beat the Hornets, which was actually a terrible win. They had a chance. They had, just so everyone knows, like, the Blazers want to get best lottery odds they can. They had a chance. If they had lost against the Hornets, they would have had a chance to credibly get to third or fourth best lottery odds because the Hornets are in that race with them. Having won that game, it all but eliminates the Blazers from getting better odds than fifth, which is where they currently find themselves. So they beat the Hornets, they beat the Wizards. I will say this, though, for people who are tracking the lottery, the other team to watch in this is the Toronto Raptors, who at sixth best lottery odds have been doing just an unbelievable job of taking Ryan. This is like a masterclass. Joe Cronin and Mike Schmitz are watching Canada going, oh my God, I wish we could tank like that. Like, if Toronto had been tanking the whole year the way they're tanking now, they'd have like five wins. But at any rate, go ahead.
Who I am surprised is not worse than they are, given everything that they've been dealt this year, the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
How are they not right up there with Charlotte, San Antonio, and Washington? Like, no Ja, no JJ, like all that stuff that they've
GG,
like,
Jackson, yeah. Jaren Jackson Jr.
They, like,
we got some players.
Aren't all of them hurt? Like, aren't they the most injured team in the league? I believe they are.
And they're not all hurt. They got a little Santi Aldama action. They got some Desmond Baines in there. Luke Kennard.
You've named.
Hey, hold on. They've got Scottie Pippen Jr. The junior of Scottie Pippen. Come on.
Okay. There's no worse players in the NBA than former players.
They have, I forgot they had Marcus Smart. I'm now seeing they have Yuta Watanabe, which is like, I only know Yuta Watanabe because there was a meme about people making fun of people's names and he was purposely mispronouncing them. And it showed Yuta Watanabe and the guy goes, "You don't want to be in the NBA." And it's like, his name does kind of look like that. Anyway,
I can't judge players in their names because, you know, glance up and down the Blazers roster anytime over the last month. And it's also a who's
nobody knew who Delano Banton was until he got here, including the NBA's own social media account when they were doing like the highlights of the night. And it said like, blah, 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 this player got this. And then it said Banton Delano got, and it's like, no, those are, you got to switch the last name's actually the first name on that. I wanted to mention this really quick. One more time about the Raptors. They're tanking. They have won two games in a row, which means the Blazers, if you go to the standings on ESPN.com and you sort by league and you see everyone that doesn't split it by conference anymore, you will now see the Blazers are comfortably four games ahead of the Raptors for fifth best lottery odds. The Blazers are probably safe to win unless both teams win and lose out respectively, in which case they would be tied, which that's not going to happen. So, okay. Blazers, four games left. I'm going for zero wins. You need them to get one or zero or else you're going to cry.
Yes.
Do I dare ask on air? This is a very personal question, Ryan. Exactly how much Skrill did you trill on this? are we talking like your mortgage? Are we talking like your life savings? Oh, what are we talking here?
If I ever bet my mortgage on anything, I'm coming and sleeping on your couch. Just let you know.
I have a large couch.
I am a small better. Like my average bets, like I bet a lot during the NFL season, you know. So we're talking anywhere between like $2 to $5 bets. So no, for this, I already had money on the under 28.5 that hit. When I do a lot of season long beer bets or season long bets, it's if I'm gonna have to have the patience to wait for it to get paid out, it's normally like a $25 bet. So that was what I threw down on the under 28.5. This one, I was a little cocky because if you remember during all before the season started, I was like, this team's going to be lucky if they win 20 games. I was full bore on that. And so I did put my money where my mouth was. That was a $50 bet. So that is at the moment my biggest gambling bet of, you know, the season.
Full transparency, I'm not a big betting person, but I remember last year when Shaedon Sharpe was like on the come up and he was looking. No, that wasn't it. It was, Anthony Simons most improved. That's what it was. And it was actually 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Why is my brain? I haven't smoked weed in like 5 years and all of a sudden I'm getting like this like foggy haze of like, what happened?
Blame the eclipse.
Sure. Yeah. Tides. It's the moon. But like, do you remember me mentioning something about putting money on Anthony Simons most improved? I think it was 2 years ago. And I remember very distinctly that he was like, kind of like starting to look like a thing. And then Dame went out. And so I was like, this dude's going to get more playing time, blah, 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 blah. And so I, Ryan, put the largest amount of money I've ever put on a bet. Because when I was doing the odds, I'm like, dude, if this thing hits, this is like, oh my God.
I remember when you informed me of the bet that you told me that I have like lunch and drinks on me for like the next 6 months.
I'm trying to remember now. It's like I made this whole deal about like, oh, this is like the one time I bet. And now I can't remember what I actually put on it.
I remember what you put on it.
What was it?
You put 500 on that.
That's right. Yeah, it was. Dude, that was the biggest waste of money. Terrible idea. Don't ever do that. Like,
it's called gambling for a reason.
Cassie doesn't ever need to know that happens. Hopefully she's not listening to it. But like, no, I remember very distinctly. I'm like, yo, if this thing hits, and that's how they get you. And that's when I knew it's like, I can't be a betting person because I get in this headspace of like, well, if I just like, if it hits, it's like, yo, you literally just gave $500 to the Oregon lottery. And like,
yeah,
It's paying for someone's PERS.
Like, if you're going to do it, here's our gambling PSA. If you're going to gamble and you can't do it,
sponsored by DraftKings?
and you can't do it with discipline, call one of those 1-800 numbers. Cause that is the hard thing. It's like I said, like I do very small bets. I do like, you know, between $2 to $5 every now and then, like I'll throw down like during the NFL season, especially a couple $10 parlays. Those are always fun. Cause it's like, hey, just pick like four different receivers to, will they have a touchdown? And, you know, you always get the 3 out of 4 and it's always like, man, this, you know, $10 little parlay, if this hits, this thing's like 117 or 122 bucks or whatever. But it is, I will admit, it is very hard to, like, if you're having a successful gambling series or whatnot, or season, and that bankroll starts getting a little bigger in your DraftKings account, to not start like cocky sniffing a little bit and being like, you know what? Sure, I'm going to throw down Blazers, you know, +4.5 and Delano Banton for 30 plus points. That totally makes sense. They're not going to get blown out by New Orleans. And Banton's been going off, and then Banton scores like 2 points and they get their ass kicked by another 60. They put up a third 60 point loss.
Yeah. I just want to really quick before we close the book on this thought, I'm looking back at the 2021-22 regular season, and I can kind of see, looking through the game logs right around when I was like, yeah, I think Anthony Simons might get, you know, it was at some point in January, and he had this string of games where he went for 43-28-14, 31-23-31. And I think it was around there that I'm like, I'm putting money on this. Woe is me. He was injured in March or something, or was like fake injured because they were tanking, and he didn't play the final 18 games of the season. Ryan, do you want, okay, this is a quiz. This is great. I love this. There's no way, even if you wanted to Google this. Can you name the 7 other players who finished ahead of Anthony Simons in most improved player voting for 2021-22?
Oh, God, no. God, no.
You can name one of them because you already said it.
Is it Shaedon Sharpe?
You named one.
Why might I say Shaedon Sharpe? That was his rookie year. Of course he's improved.
Who won most improved a couple years ago? You talk about these Grizzlies. You really like him.
Marcus Smart?
Ja Morant.
Ja Morant. Okay.
We're gonna go fast. Okay, this is going to take too long.
Do it.
Deontay Murray, Darius Garland, Jordan Poole, Desmond Bain, Tyrese Maxey, Miles Bridges, boo. And then Anthony Simons. All to say, that was a waste of $500. Ryan, I can tell that you're just itching to get out of here. Is there anything else you want to hit before we call this episode?
No,
episode, we've had technical issues. The recording stopped. I'm going to do a lot of editing.
We're good. Only thing I got, because while I'm here, because I was looking at the draft lottery standings, do I, you want me to hit sim?
Push it.
Push it. All right, yeah, let's go.
Push it. Push it.
Hey, baby.
They won.
Portland number one. Portland 1, Charlotte 2, Detroit 3, Washington 4, San Antonio 5.
Warriors pick?
Well, that's safe as kittens right now, down at 13.
I that's something to like to be watching for. Do the Warriors actually make the play-in? Their pick will be slightly better if they do not. But if you do want to reach out to, you got anything else?
Hold on. I'm just counting this up real quick because let's see.
This better be good for you to be interrupting my outro with the fake interruption.
3, 4. Yes. Our next recording, the Blazers season will be over.
Okay. Okay. Quick prediction. I'm predicting 0-4.
0-4. Okay. I will take
you.
I got the field on that.
Okay. Fair enough. If you want to reach out to us, you can always do that at welikethablazers.com. You can also find us at Like the Blazers on Twitter. I am at GoldnerPDX. He is at The Witty Ryan. And we really appreciate you joining us. And thank you to Rogue Media Network, as we are proud to be a part of the Blazers Edge family of podcasts. Be sure to check out both Trail Daddy with Dave Deckard and Rip City Roundtable with Corey Dickman, the other two podcasts in the Blazers Edge podcast family. That's all we've got for today. That's Ryan. This is Brandon. We appreciate you, as I said before. And as always, go Blazers.
But not too much.
Fuck you.